Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
The direction that we're taking is we're going to be having anyone in this room that wants to come up and do a 5-minute share thing. And the focus that we're doing this from is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 26. It says this. It says, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And so that's what we're doing tonight, coming together to share revelations that we've had, to share words that the Lord has really been speaking to us right now, things that he's personally been journeying us through that we can encourage one another with. And so we ask that when you come up, if you want to come up, please come up like with a verse in mind, and then share according to that verse, and share what the Lord's been teaching you, or something that you just have on your heart that you want to encourage and edify our congregation with. There's a five minute limit for sharing. We got a fancy little clock up here, so take note of when you start. And when you finish, and then as one person finishes up and goes back to their seats, the next person is able to jump on up and come on up here. And so, Andy, you'll be facilitating it, right? Perfect. So that's how tonight is going to flow. And then the last thing is Amy Ader is going to come on up here, and she's going to share something regarding our children's ministry.
Hello. Okay, so this is not actually, well, I guess it sort of is in regards to children's ministry, but it's more in regards to family. And is it okay if I just take my 5 minutes right now? As I've been thinking about what we're doing here with what I've been helping with facilitating meal rotations for people who have just had children and babies, and the Lord just, I don't know, he just really laid this scripture on my heart. It's out of 1 Kings 17, and I'm sure we've all heard the story about when Elijah goes to the widow, and he says, then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to the place that starts with a Z that I can't say, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and he went to the Z place. And when, sorry, I can't say it. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my sons, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And I was thinking about this because Brett and I, like, the Lord, ever since I had my first son, he just really laid it on my heart, like, you know, that it's a good idea to feed people right after they have babies. Our food budget is really pretty tight. And something that I've seen is every single time that I've been like, it's really tight, but I'm going to make it work anyway, the Lord has provided. He's done it. Like, he's given us money from somewhere that we weren't expecting so that we could have enough to live on. And you know, it's like I've been in a place where I've got, you know, $20 left and there's 2 weeks left before my husband gets paid. And I'm like, I've got three kids I've got to feed. And the Lord has provided. And he's always given in those last minute, like, man, I really wish I could give. And he's like, just do it. Just give. And so I don't know, you know, where you are, and, you know, you have to do what the Lord leads you to do. You know, if you act in something and you're not following the Lord, you know, just don't do it. Just go where the Lord leads you. So I'm not, like, saying you absolutely have to feed people in this congregation and, like, spend your last $5. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying do what the Lord says to do and go where the Lord leads you to do. So in that, we have two new babies in our community. We have little Madeline Elise, and we have little Gloria Happy Longoria. I just love her name. Can I just say that again? Gloria Longoria. I love Madeline too. Madeline Meek. I call her Maddie Meek, but that's just me. So we have 6 days. 6 days that I really, really am hoping we can get filled for these families. We've got February 2nd, February 9th, February 11th, February 13th, and February 22nd and the 24th. If I don't care who you are, if you feel like you can bring food to these people, just do it. You can be a guy, a girl, I don't care. You can order a pizza. They will be fine with it, won't you? You like pizza, don't you? He really likes pizza. Somebody give this guy a pizza. Anyways, so there's that. If you can do something, be led of the Lord, and just know that the Lord will bless you. That's all I got.
All right. So yeah, tomorrow's the 2nd of February. That was the first one. I want to encourage everybody, if you can do that, if you're like, I can totally do that, get up right now and go over to Amy and then fill this thing out. I won't be upset that you're standing up or writing down or talking or anything. Go ahead and do that if that's something you can do. All right, so I'm going to spend just a moment kind of developing what we're doing this evening. So the verse that Kathleen read just a moment ago, talking about what it is that we're doing out of 1 Corinthians 14:26. this kind of flows right out of the development of the concept of the church is a body, and there's many members, and it doesn't make sense for one body part to be bickering with the other body part, and you're a body and you have different functions and you look different and you act different, but you all come together for one purpose and with in operation as Christ, with Christ as the head. And so that it flows directly into the passage talking about spiritual gifts and all of the various diversities of spiritual gifts of healing and tongues and all the, you know, miracles and all this other stuff, and then it says, and the greatest of them is prophecy. But all of that stuff matters nothing if you don't have love. And then there's a famous love chapter that a lot of people read at weddings and stuff and have on cards. And all of that is to basically say you are going to be gifted because you are a part of the family of God. You will be gifted. You are gifted. If you're a part of the family of God and if you're in this congregation, you have a specific thing that is designed and God ordained to function for this body. Everyone. I'm looking at Avi right now. He's got it. He can't use it just yet, but when he's old enough, he's going to be able to. everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's Holy Spirit. And when you are a member of a body, when you're a member of a family, you contribute. I've heard many times the idea of, you know, it doesn't matter where you go, just so long as you're getting fed and make sure that you've got a spiritual family that you're getting something out of. That's okay, but that's not the design of that the Bible lays out. The Bible lays out a spiritual family that you are contributing to. And so I want to take a moment and talk on this, 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together, you have something to offer, something to give. I'm thinking about, we have three daughters. We have a 3.5-year-old, 2-year-old, and then a 7-week-old, right? And when each of them were 7, you know, weeks old or whatever, I'm not expecting them to do a whole lot. All they can do, we were laughing about this earlier, all they can do is, oh my gosh, I'm dying, I'm hungry, I'm dying, feed me, I'm hungry, die, and they cry. That's what they're good at. And then they sleep, and then, you know, and then we change diapers. That's what the babies are good at. They're good at consuming and sleeping, and that's it. And that's okay, that's the design. But they are never meant to stay that way. We have a 2-year-old and a 3.5-year-old, and as soon as they knew how to pick up a broom, we're starting to teach them how to sweep. As soon as they know how to wipe a table, we're teaching them. All of us have something to give. All of us have something to bring, and all of us are gifted in some way. It is the design of God to have a family, to have people who are proximity of one another so that we would be able to function together, we'd be able to operate, we'd be able to edify each other. The purpose of us coming together is that we would be edified. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different this evening where we're going to have the opportunity to take the mic and share out of a verse. It's normally Brad as the majority of the time, the one who's, if you want to go into that, the concept of, you know, the family dynamic, Brad is the one making the meal most of the time. Well, Brad's out tonight, and we're going to all pitch in. We're going to have a little bit of potluck, and we're going to have to, you know, I know how to make grilled cheese, so that's what I'm making. You know, I know I can do a quesadilla, that's what I'll do, or whatever it is. So that's what we're doing. Brad has the burden of knowing every Sunday he's got a meal to cook. Right, if you want to use that terminology, and so we're coming together tonight, and we're all going to give our little 5-minute meals, and be sharing. The idea is that each one of us are going through different seasons. I love last week or week before, Brad was talking about we go through different. You know, don't find it strange when you're being persecuted, or when you're experiencing trials and tribulation and. And it makes sense that we're all going through it together. If I were to take a poll right now of how many people are feeling weighed down, heavy, burdened, don't want to keep on going, but I know it's the right thing, it'd be a lot of people out of the congregation. And the reason is because we're a body, we are a family, and as we're going through it, the body is going to be experiencing a lot of the same stuff together. And so don't find it strange that you're experiencing the same, you know, negative realities or learning the same lesson. But at the same time, the different people in the congregation are all going to have something a little bit different that the Lord's working on, whether it be because whatever season we're in, different levels of maturity, different callings, different giftings, the Lord is teaching each one of us something a little bit different. And what I want us to do tonight is take the opportunity, and I'll be done here in just a moment, to share what it is that God is teaching you. God is working something in you for a purpose. Some of you, that purpose might be to share tonight because somebody needs a word and they hear your word and it breaks something off of them or gives them the revelation that you've got bottled up in you, and when you share it, boom, something's going to happen in someone's heart, in someone's life, and they're going to be able to go on another day encouraged built up, edified. And that's what this verse is all about. So we are going to do it with a little bit of order, though. I'm going to ask that everybody limit theirs to 5 minutes, that you you don't have to start out with it, but at some point in your you know, little sharing time, that there's a verse that you're basing your revelation out of. Quick note on that. If you have a revelation that you can't just pinpoint a verse on, I'm not saying it's not a valid revelation. It's just not appropriate for sharing in this setting. There may be another time when we do something like this, and then you have a verse to go with it. That'd be a great time. So we're going to share revelations that are partnered with a verse or a theme of verses. And then if it so happens that multiple people have gone and then we've got a little bit of dead space and you have something else you want to share, awesome, go for it. Let's just make sure that everybody's had an opportunity to do that. So the way that's going to work is, as the 5 minutes are wrapping up, if you've got something, I want to encourage you, let's just have this this little first pew right here be the cue or the lineup of who's going to share next. And then as soon as the person's done, that person's ready to come up. So what I'll do is, if you've got something all ready to share, here's your pew. We'll do that first spot as next in line, and then subsequent spots after that will be 2, 3, 4, 5. So go ahead and do that now. You can stand up and move over there if that's something that you want to do, you want to share. And I'm done. So go ahead, somebody. First person to that spot gets it. All right, Tori.
All right. Perfect. So I've been in the same season that everyone else has, where the Lord's just like, feels like he's kind of dragging me through the mud. And it's like, you'll get a little break, and then he'll just drag you through the mud more, and you're like, Lord, stop. And so the thing that he's been highlighting to me in this last season is the book of Job. And I despise reading Job, because I'm like, Lord, I know that you did that to him, but why do you have to do it to me? But I was reading through chapter 1, and it's the chapter where the Lord takes everything away from him. So, like, within the same 10 minutes, he gets the news that his children are dead, his servants are dead, all of his animals are gone. That means his wealth is gone. And it says that what he does is, it says he tears his robe, shaves his head, and he falls to the ground in worship. And I'm reading through this, and the Lord was like, he just spoke very softly, and he was like, Job, in that moment, would have sacrificed something to me, but he didn't have anything left. So he just worshiped, and I was like, oh, I quit, I can't do it. And the Lord's like, he would have sacrificed something. He would have given something. He would have been like, Lord, help me, but he didn't have anything left. So the only thing that he could do was worship. And then the Lord's like, is that your response? And I was like, no. Like, I want to complain, and I want to, like, stand before you and like, why didn't you do the thing? But every single time that I try to do that, I always think of this passage, and the Lord's like, will you worship me even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of me taking you through this season of pulling things out of your heart? Because I'm a stuffer, so all of the emotion that I felt my entire life, I just kind of, I don't want to feel that anymore. And the Lord's like pulling that out little bit by little bit, and it hurts when it comes out. But then that affects every other area of life, because you're in emotional turmoil, but you're also in charge of finances, and you're also in charge of making sure that your life still works, and you're also in charge of all of these other things. And we've got families, and we've got jobs, and we've got responsibility. And the Lord's like, will you worship me even when I take away everything that you have? Even when I afflict you, even when all of these things are happening and I'm the one letting them happen. And I know that we're all in that same season. And I think that the Lord is kind of posing that to us as a congregation. Will you worship me even in the midst of the weakness and all of the things that I've taken from you? Even when you have nothing to sacrifice to me. I'm like, Lord, I've got nothing left. I don't have any money to give. I'm a missionary. I don't have any time left to give. And he's like, yeah, but will you worship me? Even in the midst of not having anything left. So that's my.
Amen. Thanks, Tori. Let me pull this up. up. All right, so I'm just going to be just talking a little bit out of Luke 9:23 and maybe through 23 through 25. Just quick backstory. I know, just like Tori was sharing, my wife and I have been going through an incredibly challenging season, and it seemed to have gotten more and more and more challenging up until, just about a week and a half ago, we had a family member pass away, and it was sudden, it was surprising, it was hurtful, and it came in the midst of, like, probably one of the hardest weeks of our entire life. And so that it kind of like set something in me where I was like, Lord, I need an answer. And so I kind of went into my Reese Howell mode of just, I'm going to pray and I'm going to set my face and I'm going to get breakthrough and I'm going to knock on this door until I get an answer from you, God. And so I just began praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. I would pray all night. I have the wonderful luxury of the Lord providing me with a job where I get to stay up all night and get paid. And I don't really have to think much. I just kind of just do physical activity for FedEx, and so I can pray and really keep my mind focused. And so just praying and praying and praying all night for this breakthrough and laboring and laboring and laboring. And finally, about Tuesday, so I've been laboring for probably about 4 or 5 days now, you know, very focused for pretty much the entirety of the day. I really wouldn't engage in much conversation. I was kind of in prayer. And so I get to work, and I'm praying. I'm like, I just feel my body is just overcome with weakness. I'm like, God, I really cannot continue. I need you to break in tonight, and I need you to speak, and I need you to move. I need an answer tonight. And I start feeling dizzy and even weaker, and so I try to push through it, and then I start feeling sick. So by about 10 o'clock, I leave work, and I go home. I'm still kind of confused that, you know, at the end of my breakthrough prayers, I'm met with dizziness and sickness. And then I'm driving home, and I feel like the Lord says, I'm going to speak to you tonight. And my heart leaps. Oh, gosh, my heart leaps so much because I know it was his voice, and I know that what he said was real and that he really was going to speak to me. That night, I was going to go to sleep. I was positive. I was going to have a dream. God was going to speak. And so I go home. I go to sleep, and I go into the dream that I knew I was going to have because God spoke. And I have a dream, and I'm in this room, and I see, like, some pieces of wood and some rope, and it's kind of, like, against a wall. And I recognize that the wall in this room is, like, the season of our life. It's, like, the season of my life right now. That's what I recognize. And I recognize it's kind of in a house of prayer environment. And then the scene shifts and the pieces of wood start coming together on the wall and the rope starts coming together. And then it forms this cross that's up on the wall, these pieces of wood that forms this cross. And then the rope actually becomes a noose. And then the scene shifts and I see that the noose is around my neck and it's attached to this cross. And the Lord breaks my legs and I began panicking, trying to get off of the cross. Trying as hard as I can to get off of this cross. And his voice thunders and he says, stop trying to get off the cross. And my heart rests. And I know that I can trust him. I know that I can trust him. And that's what he says in Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That if you have a desire for Jesus, I just want to promise you, your desire is going to lead you to your death. It is going to lead you down a narrow and hard and challenging road. But you can trust the man who already walked that road, who already went through that fire and got feet that look like burnished bronze that have been refined over and over again. You can trust the one who says that you need to take up your cross daily because he already did it and he trusted his Father. And so in your difficult season, when you feel like God is actually trying to kill you, I want to assure you he is and that you can trust him and that you really can trust him. His words are trustworthy and that you don't have to
You don't have to fight it. You don't have to strive and feel like you need to get out of your difficult season or pray for breakthrough to get rid of your difficult season. You need to learn to enjoy God in the midst of your prison cell. And if you can't do it now, then you won't be able to when you actually get thrown into a prison cell one day for loving the name of Jesus.
Don't expect much out of me after that. Luke nailed it. It's not about the nail. It's not about the nail. Oh, wow. YouTube that. Hey, do we push a button on this, or just kind of go for it? I just want to second that Vina is the only person on that aisle right now, and so everybody's got something. I mean, it could be anything. Go ahead and join. Yeah, thanks. That's encouraging. Hey, I'm going to read a passage and then share a little bit of some testimony here. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. If you want to go there, you don't have to. We all know the passage well, but Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put his sheep on the right and his goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance in the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you've done for me.'" So Stevie and I have this neighbor, and this neighbor is a 59-year-old woman, and she has pretty extreme health conditions. She's been fighting cancer for the last 4 months. In a very small part of her mouth, they over-radiated her and almost killed her, and so she's been battling it back and forth. Well, she has a fiance that we didn't know about, but she lives alone, and for all that we know, she's a believer. Last night, Stevie calls me, and Stevie says, "There's a ton of sirens, there's fire trucks, there's an ambulance outside the house, and we're kind of worried because we know that it's next door." So Stevie goes outside to figure out what's going on, and this woman had her fiance in town, and her fiance slumped over on the couch and lost consciousness. So they called 911, and 911 came. Whenever the paramedics got there, he had lost his pulse, and he was dead. She didn't know that. None of us knew that. So Stevie went over to console her and stepped up, and nobody was there. A small detail, this 59-year-old woman has two kids, but they're not very involved, so she's really entirely alone. Stevie steps up and says, "We're taking you to the hospital, and we're with you in this." And so she calls me. We pick her up and take her to the hospital. We don't hardly know her. She's just our neighbor. We get there, and she's weeping and weeping and weeping, and she's all alone. She can't get a hold of anybody, and Stevie's consoling her and consoling her. We end up at the hospital until 3 a.m. last night with this woman that we barely know, because Stevie was willing to step out and hand a cold drink of water to this woman who was really in help or really in need. The whole family from Houston comes down from Houston, makes it all the way there, only to figure out that their father passed, or to see him as he was passing. They worked him for 20 minutes. It was a horrendous scene. And this woman had been dating this guy for 7 years, and they were fixing to get married. She had already lost a husband before, and she had no one. And Stevie could have so easily been passive about the whole thing, and we could have had a good night and been perfectly well rested. But she stepped up to meet a woman in need that she barely knew, and I was so proud of that. I want to read one more verse in conjunction with this. It's Mark 6, 7:30-44. It says, "When Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him, he sent out the 12 two by two and gave them authority over every evil spirit." So I want to pause there, Mark 6, 7, and then jump over to verse 30. So he sent them out. "Whenever they got back," he says, "the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming to them that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves on a boat into a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Sending the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he said, you give them something to eat. And so to paint the picture, the apostles had just gone out on this journey. Jesus sent them out. And we know the story that they were to take nothing with them, that they were to do it entirely on faith. And they came back undoubtedly exhausted. Jesus said, there was so much going on. Sorry, the Bible says there was so much going on, they didn't even have a chance to eat. And Jesus said, we need to take you to get some rest. Let's go get some rest. Whenever they get to their resting place, there's more ministry to be done out of the compassion of the Lord. And in tying into Matthew 25, Stevie and I, worn out last night, experienced so much fulfillment in the heart of the Lord reaching out to this woman who is so dramatically in need. And we're going through the same season that all of us are going through, but increasingly, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing Steve, who has his own set of really hard circumstances, lock himself into his apartment and find so much joy interceding for this entire congregation. Steve spends about 3 to 4 to 5 hours in intercession for us daily. Nobody knows that, but I just put it out there. Ben and Rachel are going through extremely hard circumstances that many of you don't know about. And about 2 weeks ago, they said, this is no reason for us to stop pursuing the work of the Lord. And so they started going out and evangelizing. And they're finding all the fulfillment that they need. There has been a dramatic shift in their engagement with the Lord and excitement with him. Anna Hernandez also going through some struggles. She went with them, connected with a girl, and is now really trying to disciple her and is finding some fulfillment in the Lord in doing so. So I'm just so connecting with this, Matthew 25, just the little things that we can do, the little kind acts to the Lord, and there's so much fulfillment in it because God so loves it and partners with it. Even when we're so worn out, even when we're so tired, there's opportunity to do these things and really connect with the heart of God in doing so. And so we who suffer according to God's will, we should commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's 1 Peter 4:19. The hard times, we continue to go on and do good, so...
Thanks, Landon. Just felt I had to say that. Okay. Mine is not very thought out, so if it seems sketchy, it is. Okay. So our season has not been as hard as all of y'all, and I'm not saying that I was happy about it, but I was kind of happy about it. But I'm entering into a new season, and this season's kind of scary, of course, as all seasons, you know, ebbs and flows. And so, as a lot of you guys know, we have a 7-week-old, and many of you know, like, previously, Anna, what we went through with her. And so I'm looking at this 7-week-old, and every time I see, like, her cheeks flush and stuff, I just instantly fear comes over me, and I'm like, oh, is she gonna go through the same thing? Because I remember being pregnant with her in the first trimester. Man, was the hardest ever because I started getting what Anna got. And so when I went to the chiropractor, I'm pretty sure he didn't mean to, but he was just like, well, pretty sure she's going to have it. And I was like, no, I don't, you know, I don't receive that. But inside of me, I had that fear. And so, like, this whole day, I kind of been grumpy, and I've been taking it out on Andy, of course, because he's married to me, so he can't really leave, because that would be unbiblical. But but you know, I just you know, I see her, and she gets this this redness in her that I'm very aware of. And so what I've tried been going through is, like, you know, the 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, like, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so, you know, I'll try to fight the fear, and it's great for like 2 seconds, and then it comes back again. And there's nothing like I can do but just know that the Lord will bring us through it. But man, that season was so hard, and I just don't want to go back. And I still have to know that He's a good God, and you know, everything He does is for good, but I have to remember He doesn't give us fear, so I have to cast off the fear, but it comes back. And so when you're in like something, and whenever I'm through going through something, it's just I have to remind myself of the good. And you know, it won't last forever, though it seems like forever. And just in this season, I have to fight that fear of, well, what if it does come back? Or what if it's worse? Or, you know, and I can't play that what if game. I'm really good at it, but I have to silence it because it is, you know, the enemy stealing the joy of how she is now and how she's not. She doesn't have it. So just, you know, stop worrying about something that, you know, I can't control, or I have some control over. And, you know, so I don't really know where I'm going with that. But I do know if you're going through something tough and hard, it is of the Lord, and He is good regardless. And it reminds me of what Brad taught about last week, where he says, will you not take the bad with the good? You know, it's an all package. Same thing like marriage. I love it whenever he always makes a comparison of marriage to, you know, what it is going to be like in the kingdom. Because when you're married to someone, it's not just for their good. You also see their ugly side or their weakness, and yet you still love them. And it's the same thing with God. Like, when you're blessed, it doesn't mean everything is just happy, because then you don't take the happy, you take the happiness for granted. And when you go through something with someone, regardless who it is, and you've gone through tough times, and you've guys gone through it and then survived, that's what makes that bond so much closer. And so I have to remember, He did, you know, He released that sickness off of Anna. He will do the same with Abigail, and I cannot fear something that is not going to happen. Otherwise, it's going to steal the joy of everything else He's going to provide. So that's just what I was going to share.
I probably won't take 5 minutes. I was thinking I'll just take a minute or something to share it. But anyway, I'm taking my verse from Isaiah 49, starting in verse 16 through 18. Whoops, not 16, 14 through 18. And it says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And then he's responding. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Okay, it was 16, never mind. But anyway, I learned so much from being a mom and from my child. I think a lot of you guys who are parents, I think probably get the same things. And some of you guys who are new parents, I mean, it definitely from your babies, it definitely comes. And Ben and I, we've had a lot of hard seasons. And, you know, we had a real short break before we got, it's been feeling like we've been out of the frying pan into the fire in a lot of ways. And it gets hard for a while to keep saying you're good, God. It's one thing just to look a lie into the eye and say, no, God's good. I don't believe that. But when you keep saying, God's good, God's good, God's good, God's good, God is good. And, you know, keep saying it when life just sucks and your situation sucks. You know, like, I needed a new scripture. I needed something from the heart of the Lord. I actually asked about the Lord about it today, and he actually gave that to me, because I was like, Shiloh doesn't, she's a great baby, but a lot of you guys don't know, she still struggles. She doesn't sleep through the night, and she's, because of that, I don't sleep through the night, and she struggles a lot with some of that stuff. And, you know, but like, I was reminded of God and his and who he is, like in a nap that Shiloh was taking, and I was in the same room today, and she took a good nap, but it was like she woke up, and she didn't really wake up. She did this thing. She went, eh, you know, eh. And it was like, I was actually sleeping too. I woke up out of a dead sleep when I heard that, eh, and I was like, I mean, you guys, any mom knows that. You could be 3 a.m, the baby isn't a real wake up, it's just kind of a, eh, and you're just like, you know, and, that had happened right after I asked the Lord a question, because I was, you know, I just wanted to know about him. I wanted to know, like, something about him, and he reminded me right when I did that, you know, because I wasn't about to get her, but I was just wanting to see if she was really awake or she was, and the Lord reminded me of that. He says, I do that every time you cry out to me, and I was just like, man, God, like, that's who you are. Like, you know, I don't think that all the time. When I'm going through something and I feel like you're silent, God, like, I feel like he's just kind of like, you know, crossing his arms. And he's just kind of like, you know, yeah, you just got to learn something, you know, time for you to learn, you know, learn to be better or whatever it is that I'm, you know, lesson he's trying to teach me. And he's showing me through that, you know, like, even I can forget about Shiloh. Even a mother can forget the child that she has. And, but like, no, like, he doesn't forget us. And even in this season, in this trial, like, he's not forgotten us. Just because he's not acting, he's not moving, you know, he always hears the prayers of his children. We're like his children. We are his children. And he's reminded of them every time we cry out to him, every time, even if it's not a real cry, if it's just a, eh, you know, like, it's like immediate. Like, he wouldn't put that, I don't believe he would put that in a mother, you know, if it wasn't from his heart. And anyway, I just wanted to say too, like, this banner is like really amazing. At first when I heard they were changing it around, I know this is really silly, I just want to comment on it. Like, it's really silly because I was going, why did they need, they don't need to change it around. What's the deal? I think the stage is kind of cool. But the day that they did this, it encouraged me so much because this picture looks exactly like our land. When I look at the sunset on it, and I was like, the Lord was speaking to me through it, and he's like, don't forget about the dreams I have for you, and, you know, just encourage me that, I don't know, I just want to add that in there with the scripture to remind everybody to, like, God hasn't forgotten your dreams, and he hasn't forgotten what the things that make your heart, like, just come alive. And I know that it says in Matthew that he, you know, even though, like, we know how to give our children good gifts, he gives our children, you know, he knows how to give us good gifts. I think it's in Matthew. But anyway, I just wanted to say that because God hasn't forgotten us. And it's easy to just kind of, like, think that he has when he hasn't answered, or when you're just in that place of prayer and you're like, you're good, you're good, you're good, God. I want to keep believing you're good, and I want to stand in faith, but it's hard when I don't see you. And I just love that picture, that he even, you know, like, he's like a mom. He just never forgets us, and he listens to our cries. So.
All right, right before Jack shares, we've got Cass and Cherish, and if one or two of you want to come up, you're welcome. If you don't, we're going to end it with Cherish. So if you want to, you've got the opportunity now. We're going to stop it after Cherish if no one else comes up. All right, Cherish. All right, here you go.
Thank you. Man, I'm so nervous. I don't know why. I am. I just feel like I don't have anything to give. But I was reading the 1 Corinthians 14:26, and it says you can, you know, each one has a hymn, so songs are valid to share. So I'm just going to sing a song for you guys.
Drum solo!
Okay, I'm just playing. Hey. seriously, my I did feel like I don't have anything to give, but Andy says I do. And it's good that I listen to Andy, but God's like, you should listen to me. And I should listen to him, and he says I have something to give. And so the verse is from John 17, verse 3, you know. Jesus' prayer before he was going to get crucified, and it's really is one of those verses that has been one of the big ones that I've been, you know, known for a long time, but I just been reminded this season, you know. It says, this is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Just the meaning of eternal life and what we've been saved from, and, you know, just hearing everyone's testimony and how they, you know, everyone here, like, have had a lot difficult season. I just feel, like, blessed that we're not going through a season that difficult, like, you know, Luke and Tori and all those other people here are going through. We've been pretty blessed, you know. We have everything that we need. We're not lacking in anything. I have a family, a beautiful family. My family is all safe and healthy. I have you guys, man, I'm just so blessed, you know. And but just this season, I just feel like, you know, me and Luis have been talking about it, how we just feel so spiritually empty. And just, I don't know what it is. I just don't have anything. Like, I haven't been praying a lot or reading the word or anything like I used to. I just feel so, man, I just don't have anything, you know. And there's no really a big reason for it. It's just distractions and all kinds of stuff that is not like, and, you know, a big reason to neglect that stuff. And I think one of the good stuff that comes from hard season is you're like, man, I need to seek God. Man, I can't do anything else but to seek God. That's a blessing, you know. That's one of the blessings going through a hard season. But when you're not going through a hard season, you still need to seek God, right? And he's just reminding me lately, like, you don't have life apart from me. Eternal life is to know me. And without me, without knowing me, you can have everything, you know. Jesus said you can, you know, what shall profit a man to have the whole world but loses his soul? Like, you can have everything. You can have the most beautiful family and nicest job and have nothing if you don't know me. And just been reminded, like, that how important it is to know Jesus Christ, to know him, and that's where you have eternal life. And it's, you know, he's been convicting me about that. And it's funny because I'm like, there's, you know, like, it's been difficult to transition from being single to, at least for me, I don't know about the other single guys who's been married now. Maybe it's just me, but having your Christian life, being single, and then all of a sudden you're married, and then you have another life, and then you have a kid. You have this other life that, you know, matters, and you have to nurture them too. And just nurturing your relationship with God in the midst of being married, and it's like been, I didn't know just how to manage that, you know. I just, because when I get home from work, I don't want to do anything but hang out with my family. And usually when I was single, I'm like, okay, get home from work, and then I go to prayer room and pray and all kinds of stuff. Now I just I love hanging out with my family, so I have been finding that time. And the only time is really just waking up early and just doing it, like waking up early. And I'm not a morning person at all. I'm like, hate waking up early. So but God's like, you just have to do it. That's the only solution. You just have to find time. You just have to find time. And it's funny, when I tried to do it this one time, I set my alarm 30 minutes before my wake-up time, because, like, I'm going to wake up early and just spend time with God. And so I set the alarm, and I heard it, and then I got up, started reading the Bible, was all happy, and then I realized I was just dreaming. I'm like, oh! And so I'm like, You know how you realize you're dreaming, like, oh, I need to really wake up. So I forced myself to wake up, because, you know, I was hearing the alarm clock. And so, man, that's great. So I got up and started reading the Bible. It felt good. And then I realized I was dreaming again. And so, I'm still dreaming right now. But then I got up finally and then read the Bible, and then I realized I was dreaming again. So it happened 3 times, and finally I just woke up. I'm like, okay, it was real, and I read the Bible and spent time with it. It was awesome. But, yeah, just anything, it's so important. Even if you're not going through a hard season, eternal life is to know Jesus Christ. So.
So I've been just kind of meditating on Psalm 27, and the Lord has just been speaking to me a whole lot just in this time of life and stuff through this psalm, and just the context of it. When David wrote this, it's at a time in his life where there are all these men, like, conspiring to bring him down, to take his life. Like, he's going through it, you know? And he writes this prayer of confidence of who God is, that he is a God of deliverance, that he is faithful, that he is a good God. And he says this. This is the very beginning of Psalm 27. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" Again, he's in this place where all these people are coming after him. He's on the run. And at the very end, he says, "I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. And this is just, this has been teaching me so much about what our heart posture is to be when we're going through it, when it's hard, when we feel like all the world is against us, when we feel like the Lord is against us, and life is really difficult. Not giving up, like, that's the key to it. We don't give up, and we declare who the Lord is, that he is our light, that he is our salvation, that he is the defense of our life, and we do not have anything to fear because of this truth about him. And I just love how he says, you know, like, "I would have given up, I would have despaired, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that the Lord is good, and that I'm going to see his goodness." And when he says that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, he's talking about in his life. Like, he's actually going to see it while he's alive. While he's living today, he is going to see the goodness of the Lord, that the Lord's light is going to shine. It is going to come in the midst of the darkness, that the season is going to shift, that God is with them and is for him and is on our side. And so just that same message kind of coming over and over, like, to me, like, don't give up. Like, that's the key. Andy was sharing that earlier about a common word that our leadership team was getting during the ministry time this evening from Galatians 6 about not growing tired in doing good. And what it says is we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. If we don't give up, we are going to reap the harvest. It is going to come if we don't give up. And what giving up is it's going along with what the Lord's doing. If the Lord has you on that cross, like Luke was on the cross, and he's saying, "Don't get off the cross," it's not getting off the cross. That's not giving up for him. If it's believing the Lord for a promise that he spoke of your life, not giving up is continuing to believe the Lord for that promise despite all circumstances looking completely hopeless that the promise is coming your way. You're not giving up on the Lord. You're trusting in him. You're keeping yourself right where he has you. And he says, "I am going to reap a harvest as a result of it. I am going to seek or to see the goodness of the Lord as a result of not giving up." And so that's just been super encouraging to me, just continuing to have that heart posture of, "Lord, you're good. You are for me," declaring truth in the midst of the everything else looks completely contrary, but continuing to declare truth of who God is, and that deliverance is going to come, because seasons, they shift. They look one way for a time, and then they shift and they look another way. He's always good. He's always faithful, and we are going to see his goodness, and we are going to reap a harvest if we don't give up. So keep on keeping your eyes fixed on things above, people, and you will be golden.
Hi, friends. Okay. So I'm just going to steal a verse out of Mark 3:31. I mean, we talk about this every Sunday, just going through like our 1, 2, 3, you know, just about how much we value our community and, you know, and just being like real with one another. And as a lot of you know, my dad did pass away maybe a week ago or something. And so I, I have other brothers and sisters or whatever, but being the one that was closest to my dad, I've really had to take a lot of the, take a lot of it over, and they, and my family all lives in Florida, and so that's been kind of like, in itself, a whole other thing, but something that I just realized just whenever this whole thing happened, and as I've been like communicating with my family in Florida, like really, like I've just really been you know, just fighting the whole thing of like, why isn't, you know, like why am I having such a hard time, like you know, relying on my blood and everything. And I was just driving home one day, and the Lord just really put it on my heart, just, you know, whenever Jesus says, you know, he's talking to people, and his mom and his brothers are out there, and he's just like, who is my mother and my brothers? He says, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. And that just really resonated in my heart, because when my blood family fails me, I have always had... you know, you guys, like my friends, my closest friends, are the ones that have always picked me up. And even when, you know, I'm struggling, you know, for like, there was like a specific moment where I needed something so bad. And the only people that came through for me was like you guys. And I just want to encourage anybody, any one of you guys that, like, if you're struggling with something, like, you really do have safety with these people in this room. Like, everybody in this room, like, you can rely on every single person in this room to pray for you, like, you know, to drive you to the grocery store. Like, I remember, like, one time Vina was like, man, if I had a car, I would have brought you a taco because, like, I really was hungry or something. Like, I mean, there really are people in this room who would give you the shirt off of their back. And so I just wanted to let you know, like, if there is someone in here that's, like, struggling with, like really just having a hard time, I mean, you feel like you can't do it anymore, just text somebody, call somebody, and just say, hey, I'm struggling, and I guarantee you're going to have somebody that has your back, like anybody in this room. So just know that, like, when anybody else fails you, like, that you have people in this room. So I just want you guys just to know, like, you can feel safe with these people. You can trust these people. And second, I really wanted just to say thank you guys just for putting up with me, like, all of my trillions of text messages that, you know, I've sent, you know, some of my friends in here. Like, thank you for responding with keep going. Like, thank you for those little text messages. Thank you for those little responses, because, like, when I can't get up, like, that keep going, like, it, like, does something to my heart. And so I just wanted to say thank you, and, yeah.
All right, friends, that was the hors d'oeuvres. Now it's time for my hour-long sermon. Because you have nowhere to go, so get ready. Just hunker down. Now, I love the ability to do something like this in a congregation like this, and so everyone has something to give, even you guys who didn't get up or whatever. Be receptive, be open, should the Lord prompt you in whatever way. So I just thank you guys for those of you who shared and those of you who wanted to or didn't or whatever the case, but I love each and every one of you. I'm going to pray us out, and then...
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship.
For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.